Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. And this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something you'd like to discuss, perhaps a Bible question you'd like to offer, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. There's a great passage out of the book of Ephesians. We're going to read that today during the opening of the program, but talking about being established in the faith. And boy, here's a prayer that will establish you and what's really important in life. And this is what Paul prayed for the Ephesians. This is what Paul prayed for us. And I think this is what we should be praying for ourselves and for one another. Because once we're rooted and established in the love of Christ, boy, the sky's the limit as far as how Christ is going to use us in this world today. So this is what Paul wrote. He said, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family and in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." So that's a mouthful right there. He wants us to be strengthened with power through his Spirit who is in our inner beings. So that's the reality of this new relationship that you have with Christ, that we have with Christ, is the fact that once we've been born again, God sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. And so he is going to be working in our inner being. And that work, according to this prayer, is to strengthen us through the Holy Spirit with power. And here's the reason, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that's a great imagery there, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah.
The fact that he's at home inside of us. And when we were lost, the world system was at home inside of us.
Uh-huh.
The menu options that we had to choose were very limited. It was temptation and sin and selfish ambition and those sort of things. But now that we become new creatures in Christ, that menu option changes. And it's all tied to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so he wants us to be comfortable with him inside of us. He wants us to be a welcomed person within us. And it takes some time. It takes some growth. It takes some maturity for this to really happen. And that's why we're strengthened with power in our inner being by the Holy Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. This is what he's getting at, that we are rooted and grounded in love. Where does God want to establish you? Where does God want to put your feet and put them there and plant them there where they are firm and nothing can move them away? In the love of God. Rooted and grounded in the love of God. And as you are, you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So there's this pattern here. God wants to let our roots grow deep into his very love so that his life can flow through us in abundance and impact the world around us. So if we are rooted and established in the love of God, if we're abiding in the love of God, then we can expect the love of God to be pouring out of us into the lives of others. That's the experience that God wants for us. But we're never going to have that experience. We're never going to be able to pass on the love of God if we're not first rooted and grounded in the love of God. And this takes the work of God's Spirit inside of us, teaching us what the love of God is all about, what the height and depth and the length and breadth of that love is all about, so that it's not just head knowledge, it becomes heart knowledge, and it becomes our very life in this world today. Now, when we look at a life like this that Paul is describing, we're going to look at a life that's different. We're going to look at a life that's holy. It's set apart. It transcends what we're used to or accustomed to in the world today. So God wants to make us different. How does he make us different? By rooting us in his love and allowing that love to flow through us into the lives of others. That's what this Christian life is all about.
Yeah, it's basic gospel. It's the things that you hear every day on this broadcast, everybody. We'd like for you to be a part of today's edition, and you could do that by calling 844-322-2742 right now, as a matter of fact. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Well, we've been talking this month about the importance of understanding the basics, and, you know, basically, if you don't have the basics right, well, the solid foundation, the gospel, well, you'll find that you're standing on shifting sand. As believers, we need to understand some of those basics, and some of them are that we are now children of God, that we live by grace through faith and not by obedience to the law, and that by his Spirit, Jesus lives inside of us, and his life guarantees our salvation. You hear it every day on Basic Gospel, and we want to remind you that with your gift this month, you're not only going to help others hear this good news, but you're also going to receive our brand new book, The Basic Gospel. It'll help you make sure that you have the basics down and help others at the same time. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And, of course, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742 or basicgospel.net. Well, guys, we had a call coming in from David overnight. Let's listen to that call right now.
Hi, my name is David. I live in Oregon. I've been seeking the Lord since I was 18. I'm 41 now. I heard you guys make a comment on the radio basically saying that once you become a Christian that nothing can snatch you from Christ, not even sin. And so it's just, you know, is this something that just I get convicted by it? It just don't seem right. But there's a scripture in the Bible that says basically that for a person that has tasted the good gift and has fallen away, it is impossible to renew him again to repentance. So I know you guys know that scripture. I know you guys are very, very well versed in the Bible. I know you know of the scripture, but I'd like you to bring that up on the radio broadcast, and I listen to you guys once in a while. I'd like to see what your answer is on what you think that scripture is actually saying. Anyway, have a nice day. Thanks.
Well, we hope David is listening today, so.
Yes, we do, David. Thanks for asking that question. And I think first we need to establish the fact that once a person's saved, that's an eternal transaction because salvation is receiving Christ. And so when you receive Christ, he comes to live inside of you. He, through his Spirit, is in union with us. So our spirit is one with his Spirit. And here's the reality. Christ has an indestructible life. And we read about that in Hebrews chapter 7. Well, his indestructible life is now our life. And so we have an indestructible life. So we're saved forever. And here's what we know, that when Christ appears, so he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's going to come back when he appears. As Paul wrote, we are going to appear with him. But he says this, when Christ, who is your life, appears. So what is salvation? It's receiving Christ. It's receiving his life. His life is indestructible. Therefore, your life is indestructible. So once you've been made alive in Christ, you can't go back to death. Once you've been brought out of darkness and placed into light, you can't go back to darkness. Once you've been born again, you can't be unborn. Yeah. It's just an impossibility, and the cross guarantees it. I mean, Jesus guarantees this, and the fact that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, that's the guarantee of our inheritance, that it's eternal. So there's absolutely nothing to fear. Once you've been saved completely. There is no going back, no turning back. God is going to keep pushing you forward. And that's really the context of this Hebrews 6 passage. He says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So what is the repentance that he's talking about here? It is this repentance from dead works to faith in God. So that's the change that happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we once lived in death, sin and death, and we were trying to do anything and everything to appease God, to somehow bridge that gap that stood between us. And everything that we tried was nothing more than a dead work. Why? Because it came out of a dead, spiritually dead person.
Yeah.
So spiritually dead people produce spiritually dead works.
Funny how that works.
It's just the way it works. And so when we hear this gospel message, when we hear the good news of Jesus, that he died for our sins according to the scriptures, he was buried, and on the third day he was raised to life, hope enters the picture. And now I can rest from my dead works and receive the very life of Christ. And so I turn from those dead works, and I receive the work that Jesus accomplished for me. I rest in that, and I receive his very life. That's what repentance is all about. So in that process, I go from death to life. So that's what he's saying. All right, we've laid that foundation. You've gone from death to life. Let's move forward in this new life that you have in Christ. That's the whole context here. So he says, let's move on to maturity, from dead works of faith and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have once been enlightened. So when he says to restore again to repentance, he's referring to this from dead works to faith in God, isn't he?
Yes.
So once somebody has repented, gone from dead works to faith in God, they can't go back and do that over again.
Correct.
That's what he's saying here. You can't go back and redo that. You've already done that. And if you did fall away and needed to be renewed again to repentance, so this is in many respects a hypothetical that the author of Hebrews is putting forth. Is there a better repentance than what you've already had?
No.
And the answer is no, absolutely not. What are you going to offer somebody? You've already offered them from going from death to life as they repent from their dead works to faith in God. What's going to be qualitatively better than that? Absolutely nothing. So it's impossible to renew again. So since it's impossible to renew again, to a believer, it's let's move forward in faith. Let's go on to maturity in Christ. To somebody that may be sitting on the fence and rejecting or still trying to figure out if Christ is the answer or not, this passage is saying, move forward in repentance. Receive him.
Yes.
Simple
as that.
That's what this passage is all about. So no one can lose their salvation. Once you're saved, you're saved. So once you're saved, go on to maturity. Grow in Christ. Recognize that you're saved. Quit letting Satan accuse you and play with your mind. Rest in the fact that you belong to Christ, that Christ has done everything for you. Go on to maturity.
Yeah, yeah. When I was wrestling with this, and I did for years, I finally had I had to find an anchor point. Some place that I could say, this is true regardless of anything else I misunderstand. And I found it in John 10. And he referred to it in his question. When Jesus says, no one can snatch you out of my hand, and oh, by the way, no one can snatch you out of my Father's hand because he's even greater than me. I and the Father are one. You have to take that at face value. Because if he says that, and then I come to the conclusion that I can lose my salvation, I have to say Jesus was lying. And if Jesus was lying, he couldn't be the Savior. So let Jesus be true and everything I understand or misunderstand be false. Start with Jesus in his own statement and say, Lord, you got to explain this to me. I guarantee you he will do it because he's not going to let you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. And again, we're glad you're with us. A quick reminder that on tomorrow's program will be the second installment of our brand new study on the book of Hebrews. And we hope you'll join us for that. Also, we invite you to join us the live stream, the live video stream every day on the Basic Gospel and Facebook and YouTube channels. You can come and see what goes on inside the studio every day. We'd love for you to do that.
Yes, indeed. Let's go out to San Francisco and talk to Raven. Hi, Raven.
Hi. I'm familiar with the scripture that the caller just quoted, and I had that question also. And the scripture that came to mind was when the person said, my master delayeth his coming, and he goes back to drinking and eating, I guess, with the others. And then it says his seven more spirits enter in, and it said his last state is worse than his first state. So that kind of made me think that there are some people who've been saved or they taste the goodness of the Lord, and as time goes on and people predict these different end of the world and it doesn't happen and they go back to doing some of the things that they did, is it possible, as it said in that scripture, seven more were added unto him, and his last state was worse than the first?
Well, Raven, it's a good question, and it really gets us right back to what is salvation. Salvation is more than getting your sins forgiven. It's more than just getting clean, and that's basically what those passages are talking about. You know, we can clean one guy out, but if that's all that's done.
Yeah, if we don't replace it with something.
Right. And so salvation is receiving. It is receiving the very life of Christ. So once Christ comes to live inside of you, then he's there with you forever. I mean, he's promised he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. So he's not only cleansed us through his shed blood and has drawn us near to God the Father, he's come to live inside of us. And because he's there, then nothing unclean can come in, no spirits or anything like that. We are his, and we are his forever. So we've been cleansed by the cross, and we have been filled by the resurrection. We have been filled by the very life of Christ. And so our eternal security rests upon the fact that Christ is alive, living in us. Because he lives, we live. It's just that simple and that plain as far as our eternal security is concerned. Does that make sense to you, Raven?
It does. It just, when it says those seven entered back in the first state, it just seems like there's a great falling away with some people who started out as Christians. Like you hear some of the singers, they started out singing gospel, then they went to singing secular, and then maybe some have sold their souls for fame and fortune.
Well, Raven, and here's you're right. I mean, here in America, I don't know if this statistic holds true today, but in recent years, 87% of Americans self-identified as Christians. You know, this is basically a Christian nation. You know, that's has been the major religion here in America. And so you're born in America, you're just Christian. So have 87% of Americans been born again of the Spirit of God? I would say probably not. So there's a lot of people who self-identify as Christians, who give lip service to Christianity, to belief. There's a lot of people who sit in churches every single Sunday who, have joined the church but have never been born again. And we see that time and time and time and time and time again. So we have to realize just because somebody self-identifies as a Christian doesn't mean that they've been born again, and it doesn't mean that Christ has come to live inside of them. So true Christianity is Jesus. And for those who are true Christians, they have Jesus living in them. And you can count on Jesus to complete the work that he began in him. It's promised time and time again in the New Testament that we are going to be conformed to the image of Christ, that God is at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, that Jesus is going to complete the work in us. So somebody who has Christ living in them, then Christ is going to continue to work inside of them to complete his work. So we can trust that. But Raven, you make a good point. There's a lot of people who give lip service, but have never, they're professors, but they're not possessors.
I like the way you put that.
Yeah, and that's why we never assume anything. So if you're in a conversation with, say, one of those gospel singers, say you just run into one of them at a coffee shop or something, and you sit down, well, they've sung Christian songs. That doesn't mean they're Christian. That doesn't mean they've been born again. So you don't assume anything. So you just simply say, you start the conversation with, well, what's your understanding of a Christian? What does it mean to you? And maybe you have an opportunity to share the good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and see somebody that has given lip service to it to actually have a heart experience of this new life in Jesus Christ.
Okay. Thank you for answering that.
Well, you are so welcome, Raven. Thanks for your call today. Let me put you on hold. I'll send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and I think you'll get a deeper understanding of what this gospel message is all about, okay?
Thanks, Raven. Appreciate your call.
You hold the line. Well, it always gets back to the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel. What is it? I was in a Bible study last night, and we were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, laying the foundation of Christ Jesus and then building upon that. And we don't take enough time to really figure out what this gospel message is. We say a prayer, we offer up something to God, whatever it might be, we join the church, we walk an aisle, and then we move on to something else. And I think we really need to spend time on learning what it means to be saved, learning exactly what Christ has accomplished for us. And when we learn what Christ has accomplished for us, and when we're rooted and established in that great love that he has for us, then this Christian life will start to make sense. Yeah. We'll start seeing this transformation take place right before our very eyes, day in and day out.
Absolutely.
That's the power of the gospel.
Well, thanks for joining us for this edition, everybody. I want to remind you that with your gift this month to Basic Gospel, you'll not only keep the good news coming on the air and online, you'll receive our book called The Basic Gospel. And as you can help make sure that you have the basics down, you'll also help others to enter into the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and grow and mature in his love. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And, of course, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for our study in Hebrews, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.